at about 3 PM, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa.
Thank you, Liz.
Welcome.
First of all, what a beautiful event it was, Christmas Eve, which is why we have these chairs in a circle. The setting was beautiful. The music was beautiful. The words were beautiful. It's becoming a beautiful tradition in Christ Community. And I want to thank all those that worked so hard to make that possible this year. Mixed feelings about taking last week off, huh? What do you think? Some people help, relieved, especially our volunteers who put it out for us every week. God bless them for the break they had. Glenda and I went with our daughter and son-in-law to the Presbyterian Church and sat on the back row. It's the first chance to do that in a long time. And we noticed a couple young ladies arriving late. And hearing their explanation, they had walked to Christ Community, and it was locked. And so they ended up at the Presbyterians with us. So they had the chance to say, "Why did you do that?" So it was fun. Well, we are beginning a new season of 21 days of prayer, this time of orienting our hearts and minds to our Father in the heavens, and as well as praying for the community of the congregation that we are, that our love for each other will be pure and deep. And we're praying for our mission, that we'll share and spread the love of God to others in the city. So today I'm introducing a series of messages, as you would expect, focusing on prayer. But this year, I'm going to add an emphasis, mostly because I'm seeing this emphasis more clearly in the Scripture. Not just to bring variety, but I'm just compelled that it's there. I'm excited. I want to mention about next week. How many have heard of Aruka Institute of Healing? Anybody heard of them? They are a faith-based social service agency that's started in Princeton, moved to other towns, now coming to Ottawa, that we're expecting to hear from the founder next week. So you're not going to want to miss that. But my title today is Opening Heaven and Expanding the Kingdom. Opening Heaven and Expanding the Kingdom. Now, Liz already read for us the main part of our text. We're going to include that, and we're going to go a little further than that as we continue. But I'll read Liz's last. Let me be honest with you. I didn't go to church here last week, which means I'm out of the routine, which means I have it out of order on my notes, so I'm scrambling a little bit. Give me 1 week off, and I lose it. I'll try to have it back after this week. So the last words that Liz said to us was that Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of the attendants, and he told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. He's going to retrieve Peter. So we have the beginnings of a story here. And by the way, there'll be a fair amount of scripture today, but it'll be story, so it should be interesting. First of all, we have a location. 10 verse 1 says, "At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment." So the location is Caesarea. Caesarea was built by King Herod the Great around 22 BC, so this would be a pretty modern city by the time Jesus is there. Named in honor of the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus, Caesarea, that's the part of the name there. It became the capital of the Roman province of Judea, replacing Jerusalem even as the administrative center, a prominent place. The city had a large and magnificent harbor, which is one of the largest artificial harbors in the ancient world, and it was a hub of Roman military and political power in the region. There, it was a very modern and very Roman feel to the place, Caesarea. Now we have the first of two main characters. in Caesarea is this man Cornelius. Who is this Cornelius guy? Let's look at our verses a little more closely. Again, back to verse 1. In Caesarea, there's a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. This means a centurion. He was a commander of at least 100 soldiers, like centurion. And he was a Gentile, a very Roman Gentile. And at this point of the story, we're in Acts chapter 10. The Holy Spirit has been moving mightily among Jews ever since Acts chapter 2. In Acts 2, there was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came and was like flames of fire on their heads. People began to utter inspired words called prophecies, sometimes encouraging or praising God or revealing the plans of God. Some began to speak in languages that they had not learned, speaking in tongues. And the spiritual community, the church community, grew rapidly, and looking out for each other, loving each other well. Miracles began to happen. Most famously, a lame man healed. So why is Acts chapter 10 suddenly turning our attention to a Gentile? And what is it about this Gentile? What is it about him as compared to any other Gentile that makes him the focus of our story? Now, along with the Gentile bio about where he lived and what his job was, Luke now reveals traits that are more pertinent to where this story is going to go. Now, it matters to us the traits of people. You know, we have this saying that we use at practically every Sunday, that we're a community of people learning how to live and love after the pattern of Jesus. In other words, there are traits of Jesus that we observe, and we want to use them as the pattern of our lives. So, of course, the primary pattern for us is Jesus, but there are other people who are like Jesus in particular ways, and we follow them as they follow Jesus. And so we look at Cornelius, the Gentile. Verse 2 says that he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. Likely by example and teaching, Cornelius has been able to influence his entire family to be pious, to be godly, to be dutiful. Maybe in words like we've heard describing Jimmy Carter in recent days. And God-fearing. In other words, Cornelius was in awe of God. He revered God. He made space for God in his daily schedule. He made space for God in his mind and in his heart. He held God in high esteem, even though God was invisible, not to be seen. He wasn't assuming that he was entitled to God and that God was just serving him, but he was going to be a servant of God. And it says of him that he gave generously. Generously in this particular example is not an imposition, not a sense of he had to do it, not a mere obligation, but from the heart he gave generously. And he prayed regularly. In other words, frequently. I believe it's the combination of giving generously and praying regularly that are the 1-2 punch for opening heaven and expanding the kingdom. It's very possible that on this particular day in Cornelius' life that he was praying in the afternoon when, look at verse 3 with me, one day about 3 in the afternoon he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Now how would you like to have an angel on a first name basis with you, huh? Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel's going to answer this question with a great, great blessing. And this blessing is coming because of a couple of traits in Cornelius' bio. You think it's his Roman citizenship that's going to do it? No. You think it's the important job that he has in the military? No. Not his stature as a Roman citizen? No. I need to interrupt this message intentionally at this moment. This is where I was writing my notes a couple of days ago when my phone rang. And at the other end of that phone was a friend of mine named Victor. Anybody here know Victor? Victor comes to church sometimes. And he comes late and he sits back there. And he and Glenda and I have had supper with him for a lot of Monday nights for a long time. He had a request for me while I was working on my notes. He said, the police have just brought a 36-year-old young lady to us who has been involved in a domestic violence situation. Can you provide some money for her to have a night in a hotel? I'm just writing these notes about generous giving and it not being an obligation, and here comes this phone call as if God was trying to interrupt me. And so guess what? She got a night stay in the motel the other night, and I thank God for that privilege. The angel answered, back to the scripture, your prayers and gifts to the poor. Would you all say that, prayers and gifts to the poor? Prayers and gifts to the poor. This isn't me making this up. This is what the scripture is telling us. Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. In other words, the combination of frequent prayer and generous giving to the poor is why you're on a first-name basis with this angel, Cornelius. This combination of giving and praying has made you famous in heaven. The Lord knows your name. You're not forgetting the poor, therefore I will not forget you. I know you by name. And you're the kind of man that I want to use to initiate a profound expansion of the kingdom of God that's just about to take place. I want the kind of person that you are, Cornelius, to be at the roots of the next move of the Spirit, the next expansion of the kingdom of God. So basically, the angel says, follow these instructions. Verse 5. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. So two servants and a devout soldier were sent, likely devout because of the influence of Cornelius. He's apparently just that kind of guy. Meanwhile, back at Peter's ranch, now at verse 9, chapter 10, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Now we have our second major character in our story. We've got a location. We've got the first main character, Cornelius. Now we've got Peter. The lives of these two men, Cornelius and Peter, are about to intersect in a way that's going to change history forever. That is at this moment affecting your life. You would not be here if this meeting was not about to happen. What is the common practice that both of these men have and that both involve themselves in and is likely the reason that they're in this story and making history? Well, Peter is also somebody who prays. He's on the rooftop praying at this particular moment. Now, pause for a moment. Cornelius is described as devout and giving generously to the poor. Peter is described as praying and says nothing about his giving, which made me curious. It reminded me of a story about Peter when he went to the temple one day to worship. Let me read from Acts chapter 3 for just a moment. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Apparently he likes to pray at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold, I have none. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Not everybody can give. Peter couldn't give. Silver and gold have I none, but he could pray. And I wanted to include this little story because I don't want to come across saying that the way to get a blessing is to pay your way in. What matters is your tenderness, your sympathy, your care of the poor, your compassion for the poor. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. So Peter and John had no money to give, yet still God heard and healed the man. So if you have it, if you have money, pray and give it. And if you don't, just pray. Now, let's go back to Acts 10, where Peter's on the rooftop praying. He became hungry, verse 10, and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Now this vision that Peter just saw would get the attention of any good Jewish person in those days. All of the animals mentioned would be considered unclean by Jewish Old Testament law. No God-fearing good Jew would have anything to do with the food in that vision. The vision of unclean food provokes a very different response in Peter than the response that Cornelius had at the end of his encounter with an angel. Cornelius, at the end of his encounter, immediately obeyed and sent men to get Peter. By comparison, the good Jew, he argues, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." A change in the spiritual atmosphere is taking place at this moment. Things that used to be considered unclean are now going to be considered clean. Heaven is opening and it's revealing what God is up to. The kingdom of God is going to expand in a powerful way. And Peter is part of it because he was a man of prayer. Again, we're going into 21 days of prayer. It matters that we pray. It deepens our participation in the advance of the kingdom. Peter is part of it because he's a man of prayer. Even though it's sinking in kind of slowly to him, he had this vision three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering, in other words, thoroughly perplexed about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. Again, history's being made because of regular prayer. Let me say it again. History is being made because of regular prayer. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up, go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Now let's pause there for a moment. Let it sink in a minute. God speaks that specifically sometimes. That awakens my desire for that, for hearing from the Lord like that. Wouldn't it be great to present ourselves to the Lord and have him speak back with instruction as clear as that? It could happen. Verse 21. Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We've come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them. Some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. There he is again, influencing people, opening his home, opening his living room to get folks in, and they wants them to hear the gospel as well. Verse 25, as Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You're well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile." He's breaking the law by being there. Regular prayer and the Lord speaking to them in a vision is making this happen. "But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes before me stood before me and said," and here comes the 1-2 punch again, "Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor." Isn't that about the third time we've heard that now in all of our scriptures now? This matters to God. Now, I'm going to show you a picture on a different week, Lord willing. But it's not unusual, and the weather is just a little warmer than this, but still cold, that I'll arrive here on a Sunday morning at 5-ish in the morning, maybe 6, and at our front door will be 2 poor people sleeping in sleeping bags right outside our front door. It's as if God is surrounding me by people in need. and reminding me that they matter to God. And I want to add one more thing about that. Do you remember when it used to be Kevin that used to hang out at our front door, making all those nonsensical motions and sounds, and we prayed for him multiple times regularly? Kevin's doing well. I think he'll be at lunch today when we're done with his service. We got two more we need to be praying for now. It matters to God that we pray and that we remember the poor. Verse 32, send to Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He's a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord commanded you to tell us. At this moment, heaven is opening. The kingdom is expanding. It's going from Jews to Gentiles now. Verse 34, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened through the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Why was Cornelius privileged to hear this message? Because he was a man of regular prayer and remembering the poor. Verse 39. We're witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, in other words, the Jews, they were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. This is it. The first time it ever happened. The Gentiles are being filled with the Spirit. What got Cornelius ready to be filled with the Spirit? Regular prayer and remembering the poor. The Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. The heavens are open now, and the kingdom is expanding by multiples. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They've received the Spirit just like we have, and so he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus. And they asked Peter to stay with him for a few days. This expansion of the kingdom is so important and so significant that Peter has to leave there to explain his actions to the other Jewish believers. I want to read just a little bit of it. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that Gentiles also had received the word of God. They heard that the kingdom had expanded beyond their borders. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them? And this is a big deal what happened. Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. And I'm going to skip the next 15 verses because we've already heard the story twice. But guess what's in the story? That he was a man of regular prayer, and that he remembered the poor. If God gave them the same Spirit who gave us, the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? And when they heard this, they had no further objections, and they praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Even to us has been given the gift of the Spirit, because Cornelius was a man of regular prayer and remembered the poor. Heaven opened, the kingdom expanded. God used praying people to open the heavens. God used a man known for his prayer and his generosity to those in need to be the point person of the greatest expansion of the kingdom of God in history. We Gentiles are saved because Cornelius prayed and remembered the poor. I'm going to say it again. we Gentiles are saved because Cornelius prayed and remembered the poor. I believe there will be others after us who will be saved because we were regular in prayer and because we gave to those in need. We're entering today another season of 21 days of prayer. Our regular prayer matters. It opens heaven. 21 days is a regular emphasis and a primer for even more regular prayer. In other words, you might get into a habit of waking at 6 or 6:30 or 6 for most of us. And maybe you want to continue that when 21 days is over. And then, of course, we're adding this emphasis during our teachings this 21-day season, the emphasis that includes the generosity of giving, of being mindful of the poor. Today, we started with the example of Cornelius, remembering the poor, and you're going to hear that emphasis again in the coming weeks. And you'll hear it when we invite Sarah here next week to speak to us. But this week, let's pray, and let's remember what opens heaven and expands the kingdom. How might you do that? Well, hopefully you can join us here at 6 in the morning, or maybe you'll just do something there at your home or when you can. How can you remember the poor? Maybe somebody you'll notice and you'll just buy their coffee or buy their lunch. You might notice they're in dire straits. I didn't ask permission to say this, but my friends, the Andersons, are on the front line right now helping folks, and they could help. They could use a gift. Salvation Army is always on the front line of helping folks in need. Christ Community Church gives regularly on behalf of you to various people in need around the world. Or Aruka, like you'll hear about next week. Let's change history. Let's see if, just like we can pray Kevin off the front door, maybe we can pray Brian and Jim off the front door. Let's see heaven open, and let's be part of growing the kingdom. Let's pray and remember the poor. Let's pray and remember the poor. After the pattern of Jesus, we say, Jesus prayed. He defended the poor. He included the poor. I'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock. Let's stand. I'm going to say a brief prayer and turn it over to Caden. At any point along the way, there are people, where's Liz? Back there. There'll be people back there. Not that Liz, the other Liz. Where? If you want, Rosa, where should people go when they're prayed for? That, there's a prayer corner there and a prayer corner over there. All right. So if you want prayed for, need comfort, need healing, need salvation, there's people waiting for you. Let's pray. Your word declares, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Lord, we come to you on this day one of 21 days and appeal to your spirit. Your spirit, which is invisible, but sees everything and everyone. Here we come again, Lord, asking that you would change history in the city of Ottawa. Here we come again, asking that you would bless Marcy. Here we come again, asking that you would console those who are grieving today. Here we come again, asking in Jesus' name that our ministry would be anointed by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we could do it after the pattern of Jesus. That we would discern things by your voice that we could not discern otherwise. That we could declare healing in the name of Jesus that could not be declared otherwise. We present ourselves again to you, Lord. Lord, also give us your compassion for those who are in need. I have such a mixed record. Sometimes I've found myself trying to avoid them. Sometimes I've found myself trying to help them. Lord, give us your heart in Jesus' name.